Your guitar is in Chicago. You can borrow one of mine. Play for me that new tune I keep hearing all the time. Leaving here tomorrow.
And now, everyone's favorite autodidactic iconoclast, Drew Marshall.
In Chicago, you can borrow one of mine.
Well, what a kind of a fluke how this all came together today. Smoke Killer, just, I can't say that name enough. I've said it like 9 times today and giggled every time. And Jen Lane in the studio. You were listening to John Antonuk. Did I say that right? We've got so much to talk about, but this music is just absolutely killer. And all the way from Saskatoon, they've dropped in to say g'day. So have a listen. We'll be right back with more live.
Chicago. You can borrow one of mine. You taught me everything I know. Wrote the words, I walked the line. Play one more of your songs, I'll sing along this time. Leaving here tomorrow, so mine. Your guitar is in Chicago. Can borrow one of mine. Your guitar is in Chicago. You can borrow one of mine. Your guitar is in Chicago. You can borrow one of mine.
Folks, you are listening to The Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca, and we're on Real Radio here in Southern Ontario, a little station called Joy 1250. Well, first of all, let's get right into the conversation. You two are both very, very welcome and glad you're here. How did this come about, by the way? Are you traveling across the country, John? Is it, like, what's going on right now?
What we did was I booked a residency for Jen and I at the Cameron House in Toronto.
Oh, nice.
So we're playing Wednesday nights there, 6 till 8. This is our last one this week. May 28th will be the last Wednesday. And then we were in town for Canadian Music Week the first week. The second week, we went to Kingston, Ottawa, Montreal, in Montreal for a couple of days. The third week, we did Barrie St. Catharines, and then we're here in Oakville today. And then we just go back and a few more things in Toronto before we head home.
Nice. I'm always interested in the love story. Now, with you two traveling together,
yes.
I got to hear, I don't know, I'm looking at your eyes to try to figure out who's going to tell this story better. You're deferring right away to John with that look. John, I would like the love story.
The love story goes like this. It was 11 years ago in November, December of 2002, and Jen and I were playing a singer-songwriter showcase at the Campus Bar in Saskatoon.
Okay.
And that was the first time that we met and shook hands. And I walked. She played her set before mine. I walked up after her and told the whole room that I thought I had a crush on her because the songs were so beautiful. And then it was 4 years later that we got married on that stage, and we've been working together ever since.
Fantastic. Was there a cool proposal, or was it, you know, over a bowl of Kraft dinner?
It was really spontaneous, because he had this whole other plan, I think, and then I can't remember what we were talking about. Some creepy guy was hitting on me at my wage sink job, and I was in the car with John. He was driving me home from work, and I was like, I'm so glad I don't have to deal with this dating game anymore. And he pulled a ring out of his pocket.
Wow.
He couldn't wait. He's anxious when it comes to surprises. He always wants to give me things early.
I'm not good at surprises.
No. Can I give you your birthday present?
Want to know what I got you for? No.
Oh, man. You guys are crazy. All right, so are you from the same neck of the woods?
Born and raised in Saskatoon and never never met until that day on stage, even though we ran in a lot of the same circles and things. There is a gap of 10 years between us. So I think it would have been weird if we had met any sooner, because I was 20 and he was 30 when we started dating. So we met at the perfect time to get over that. Because if it had been like, if I had been 15 when we first met, it might have made things a little weirder once I did turn 20 years old. Be like, I don't know, that's little Jen Lane, you know? But
and I knew who Jen was. Jen was nominated when she was 16 years old for a Prairie Music Award in Western Canada, and then again when she was 19 for another one. And so I knew who she was, or she had a critically acclaimed album when she was 19, and I was listening to the music and saw people going crazy for her music in town, and we just had never had the opportunity to meet, and it was that first time that we met. We just kind of knew that we wouldn't be apart very much from then forward.
You know, you remind me of George Canyon, because there's very few, you know, big dudes playing sweet guitars with mellifluous sounds,
sure.
Mellifluous
That's
vocals.
A good word.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. By the way, you also have that superhero chin like George does. He's got the Buzz Lightyear chin.
Right.
Kind of, you know.
He
I don't
even
know.
Gets the wave in the hair sometimes.
Yeah, S sometimes.
S. Really?
Down, yeah.
He used to call me Miss Lane, and I would call him.
Too
Superman.
Funny. Too funny. Well, listen, let's get into your first song. Can you set it up for us, please?
I sure can. I lost my mom in 2010 to cancer, and then I put out a tribute album to her, which is where we just heard the one song from. And I've been on a bit of a journey touring a lot, and Jen was at home with an ankle injury, and I was out there on the road by myself, and just sort of had this sense of enlightenment and sense of sort of spiritual fulfillment happening inside me, where I kind of felt like I finally was on the journey that I was supposed to be on regardless of where I was. And I wrote this song about that called The Way Home.
Hey, listen, folks. By the way, am I okay calling you Smoke Killer?
Sure.
Because you got to stick with that, man. That is just...
I'm so glad you said that.
Why? Was he thinking about bailing on it?
There's this... two ends of the spectrum. People either love it or they're like, ugh, what is that?
It's like Gordon Lightfoot. You either love him or hate him.
That's right. See, and the name comes from, I used to smoke cigarettes, and we'd light a cigarette and set it down in the ashtray and jam on some folky songs, and by the time we went back for a drag, the smoke was gone.
Right.
So there was this one magical evening where this ashtray was full of this long ashes and filters, and we hadn't smoked any of the cigarettes, but it was full of cigarettes. And I looked down at the ashtray, and my friend looks over and goes, man, your songs are killing all my smokes.
The power of music.
And I thought the power of music has kept me from smoking, so Smoke Killer became that theme.
I love it. Well, live on the Drew Marshall Show, Jen Lane and Smoke Killer.
No such thing as the wrong way. No such thing as can. Didn't think I'd get here or ever make it back, but I went my own way on the other side of the tracks. Always knew I'd get here, I knew I'd make it back. When you find your way, you find your way home. When you find yourself, you never be alone. Every step I took was another chance to fall. Every time I looked, I'd rise above it all. I kept every promise that I possibly could. Everyone I broke, I knew I would. When you find your way, you find your way home. When you find yourself, you never be alone. When you find your way, you find your way home. When you find yourself, you never be alone. I don't have the answer. I never thought to ask. Feels like I'm moving backwards when I think about the past. One thing I remember, one thing I need to know. You took me in your heart and never let me go. When you find your way, you find your way home. When you find yourself, you'll never be alone. When you find your way, you find your way home. When you find yourself, you'll never be alone. When you find your way, you find. Find yourself,
when you find yourself,
you'll never be alone.
Never be alone.
When you find your way,
when you find.
Absolutely beautiful. Well done, guys. Fantastic. Man, I was told that, Jen, your harmonies were like a laser, and that was true.
Darcy Wendover told you that, didn't he?
Totally. Totally did.
Nobody else has ever said that to me before.
Really?
Darcy, so.
You know, and I always hesitate with the whole, oh, you know who you sound like thing, because that just, you know, it, I don't know, kind of falls off the ceiling, right? But I could not shake Stevie Nicks.
Oh, I'll take that. Thank you.
That, I mean, you just...
I don't hear it. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I know.
She's one of my favorites, and I actually, my writing, there's a documentary about her right now. I think it's on Netflix.
Okay.
But my writing process is so similar to hers, and personality-wise, John has jokingly been calling me Stevie, because I know what I want, and it's like, oh, what about this idea, or what about that idea? And I'm like, no. Like, I want it like this. And she was very much like that in the documentary, so that's become a joke in our... household.
Wait,
hey,
Stevie. Did I just hear that you're bossy? Did I just hear that?
Oh, when it comes to my art and my music, I can't help myself.
John just threw his hands up. I didn't say that. I didn't say anything. John Antonuk, a.k.a. Smoke Killer, is a singer-songwriter from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. All of our Americans, they just go, what? What? At least you're not from Vagina.
You know, yes.
Almost a different language.
Yeah. John's music draws a diverse range of comparisons from Teenage Fan Club and Weezer to Ryan Adams and Neil Young. By the way, I thought I saw you cover a Neil Young song on a video. Have you? Is that sir, something out there? Have you covered something?
Yeah, Jen and I were involved in a duo competition back in Saskatoon a couple years ago, and Harvest Moon was one of the songs that was on a list that they gave us that we could pick from. So we ended up covering Jackson, Johnny Cash, June Carter, Harvest Moon we did. There's a couple other ones that we did, but we threw in a few originals, which was what got us a little further in the competition. And
well,
then once it switched over just to covers, we sort of... That's not really our forte. It's not really our thing.
No.
So we just we took it for the exposure and had a lot of fun doing it.
What's your most favorite duet?
Right
and,
now.
And you have different opinions.
I would say, like, it's got to be Sweet Carolina by Ryan Adams for me. That's like the first one of the first songs we ever jammed on together. And it's still like 11 years later. I'm not sick of playing it anymore. And I still, I like doing that.
That's
one
very true. Me. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, how about you? John?
Jen's been covering a Big Star song called 13 lately, and I just love playing guitar and singing the backup on that with her.
Nice.
Well, and interestingly, 13, John was born on Friday the 13th, and I've always thought of that day as a lucky, like, I wasn't like, ooh, Friday the 13th. My mom always said, well, it's lucky, it only happens once a year, so it's cool, right? And then he cut a record called 13, and then it got me a record player for Christmas, and I'm like, what is this song? It's so cute, and I flipped the record over, and it's called 13.
Okay, there's a lot of 13s there, man. Okay, so one of your originals. Can we do...
We'll do a Jen Lane song.
We'll switch it up a bit. This is sort of the format we've been touring in.
Excellent.
Back and forth.
The format works. Right. Set this song up for us.
This is a new one. It's called Waiting For You. As John said, I spent the last year and a half sort of in touring hiatus after a foot and ankle surgery. John, like he said, was touring lots. I was stuck at home. He's been a very devoted husband and kept working so that I could come back to work and do what I love to do. And so this is just a tune that reminds me of of how he treats me and vice versa.
Beautiful.
How we're there for each other. Part of the love story.
So nice. No, this is fantastic. I love you guys. Really do have a cool vibe. John Antonuk and Jen Lane on the Drew Marshall Show.
When you're searching for what you need to find, I've been waiting for you, baby. When you're lost inside your mind, I've been waiting for you, baby. Waiting for you, baby. When you're beating yourself up and down, I've been praying for you, baby. When your heart is inside out, I've been praying for you, baby. Praying for you, baby. Even if you crumble, every time.
Stuff, you guys. Really, really well done. I'm loving this so much. You know, there are very few guys that have that ability to stay in the tender range. And there's a guy I know in the States, David Wilcox, who's just a fantastic, mm-hmm. Well, you're familiar with this?
Yes.
Yeah, singer, songwriter, and freak, basically, yes. Is what he is. And he just stays in that pocket, and it's just, it's a rare and beautiful thing. So
that's exactly how I felt when I saw him play at that first gig. I said, I want that guy. But I meant, like, I want that guy to back me up. I want that guy to back me up and sing with me, because I had done a project with a man named Daniel Roy. He's one of these strange characters that literally, like, did this beautiful album and then went to learn, like, teach English in Japan and then went to write a book. And, like, he's not, he could have been a great musician, but just wasn't playing anymore. And John's the first guy that was like, oh, he has that thing that works with my music.
Yeah,
and
it totally
and
does.
And we jammed. And
do you guys fight?
The rest of
tell
the
me
street.
You fight, because you're together
gosh, yes.
a lot.
Yes.
24/7. Not that we
in
fight 24/7,
way.
But we're together 24/7.
No, I'm isolating that later. You fight 24/7.
But I joke that once a week on the road, at least, like, we've got to drive each other crazy.
I want to. We got to go to a quick commercial break right now, and I want to play a track off of Jen Lane's CD here called "For the Night."
Sure.
Tell me which one you'd like us to play going out.
Going out,
yeah.
You intro, because this is like spiritual talk radio. You should play number 5, which
okay.
is Feeling Crazy.
Then
which
we will
is
play
kind
number
of
5.
About taking a leap of faith.
I love it. All right, well done. Folks, some websites for you to go to, and we'll be right back with more live on the Drew Marshall Show with Jen Lane and Smoke Killer John Antonuk. JenLane.com, JenLane.com, and SmokeKiller.com, right? That kind of works for me, both of them right there. Have a listen to this. I think you might enjoy it.
Will you help me to let go if I say I will? I don't know if I can go another day still.
Every place we went and everything we said for anything wrong. If I never told you what I was thinking all along, doesn't matter, it's the last day of the year, you won't be here when it's gone. It's the last day of the year, and I'll still be here when it's gone. Go to every place we went, do the things we said like nothing's wrong. If I never.
John, this song has got a little bit of emotional vibe to it,
yeah.
And the backstory is losing your mom. Which sucks.
Yes.
I lost my mom same night my son was born, which was just crazy. Crazy town. How long ago did your mom pass?
2010.
So that's pretty stinking fresh, man. That has just still got to be a real kick in the guts for you.
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, it was really hard to make the record. When we went into the studio, we had this... I had about 28 songs written for my next record, and my producer, Leroy Stagger from Lethbridge, Alberta, he came in and he listened to this all the songs, and he picked these 11 or 12 songs that sort of told the story of the last 3 months of my mom's life and the next year of mine. And so we thought at that point, we realized we're making a tribute record here. It's not what we set out to do. And then the picture is a picture from 1968 of my mom and my oldest sister at Blackstrap Lake in Saskatchewan. And the back of the album cover is actually the glue of the picture as you will be peeled
all right.
out.
Yeah,
of the album. So, and this song in particular, Last Day of the Year, I was sitting there on New Year's Eve, that first New Year's Eve that came up, and just realized, you know, my mom's not going to see the number 2011 on a calendar. She's just not going to be here for any of that. But we all were. And so it was really about that. The song was about just my dad. It was kind of for my dad, about my mom. And I had a reviewer say that it's tough distinguishing between the breakup songs and the losing your mom songs on the record. And I thought, well, that's kind of the universal appeal of making a record.
Oh, they said that in some derogatory way?
In a little bit of a, they thought that it was a tribute album to my mom and that there were some songs that were maybe more about breaking up with a girl, but they don't realize that my mom was sort of the biggest female relationship in my life. I mean, it started from zero and went to 37 with her, and and when she was gone, I have three sisters, so I'm hypersensitive but straight. And it's just one of those things where, you know, you kind of get to this point where it's just the biggest female relationship, and it's just gone. You can't really prepare for that at all, and it's something that you have to learn how to live with, that space in your life that goes forward with you from that moment.
Obviously, with the theme and format of our show, we talk a lot about spiritual stuff, and who was it that I... Oh, it was Darcy. I was talking to Darcy about losing mm-hmm. his dad, and that was a real spiritually cathartic moment for him, going through that. Not just when I say moment, I mean the whole time.
Yeah.
For you, you know, everybody's different, man. Some people, you know, depending where they've come from, there's no spiritual trigger whatsoever. But I'd say, you know, there are a lot of people that kind of look upwards and go, what the heck? Either A, I'm so angry with, if you are there, God, what is going on? This is ridiculous. Or, you know, I've got no choice but to trust you, so I surrender. You know, life is... Part of life is death, and so I've got no choice. So I have to surrender. Mm-hmm. What happened to you?
Well, there was the
That it has to be one of those.
No. But there was. I understand what you're saying, and there was this moment where it wasn't. I mean, my mom had cancer for 6 years, and she fought it well, and it came when it came for her. That was it. Mm. But when I sort of looked at the way a family goes and the way generationally a family comes in and goes out. My mom's parents were gone. My dad's parents were gone. My mom didn't have to put one of us in the ground before she was gone. She didn't have to bury a grandchild. She had four beautiful grandchildren. So really, other than my dad, it was sort of the next step. If someone was going to go from old age or whatnot, it was going to be my mom or my dad in our family. And so losing my mom at that moment was... It's unfortunate and it's hard no matter what, but it was easier to accept knowing that she didn't have to go through the pain of putting one of, you know, burying one of her kids or losing somebody. She lived a beautiful life.
You know, I don't know you well enough to kind of get into this, but I have to ask because having grown up in the funeral business, having been a hospital chaplain, having been a pastor, I want people to be able to get to the point where they can celebrate the passing of somebody. And I don't mean that in, but just be able to embrace. And it's hard to embrace that season of life if there's stuff there, if there's stuff unsaid, if there's crap still. You know what I mean? So I guess in a long way, it's a horribly long way of asking this question, anything unresolved, any regrets?
No, we were, like, my whole family, there's three sisters, myself and my dad, we were all there holding on to my mom's hand when she left. And
what a blessing.
Yeah, we got
that is a gift.
We knew, they pulled us aside and said, you know, 48 hours. And so we all got opportunities to just talk to her and tell her all the awesome things, like, that you wanted to share with her and ask her any question that you could. I mean, you can't ask every question.
No. Yeah.
But one thing I did talk to her about was just going forward, feeling sort of like, what am I doing in this world? Where's my spot? And something that she said to me was, you know, what you're searching for, you already have. Wow. And I took that, I took that home and I wrote a song about it. And it's on the record, but we'd love to play it for you.
Are you going to play it now?
Yeah.
We could do that.
Really?
Just want to say, too, that she was so supportive, too, of what John was doing. I had had the injury, been off for a while. John
helped me. The injury, what do you mean?
I had a huge injury about 7 years ago, foot and ankle. It's been several procedures. But anyway, John's mom really supported us through all our endeavors when people were looking at us going, you're crazy. Why are you still trying to do this? Why don't you just go back to school and and give up? And, you know, he stuck with me. We did my last record with Stephen Drake from The Odds in Vancouver. And we had just launched my first big tour since the injury, and we got the call. And we turned around and we came home, and she was like, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be on tour. And John was so strong. If it wasn't for him, I probably would have canceled the whole tour, because Marlene was like one of my best friends. Like, some people joke about their mother-in-laws, but really, I had no complaints about her. Her and I were great friends. And we went home, we did the funeral, and we got in the car after the funeral, and we went back on the road, and we finished the tour in her name. And it was crazy. And sometimes I can't believe we got through it. But it was a really special thing to do. Mm. So,
well, and just and what she had said to me was, you know, what you're looking. I said, "What should I be, a dentist? Should I be a MRI technician? Should I? What can I do to help people?" And she just said, you "Keep doing what you're doing. You're helping a lot of people. And what you're searching for, you already have, is sort of the secret to life. It's realizing that it's always been inside us since the day we were born, and it's really the journey is finding that. And this, you know, as soon as whether you find it young or old." It's there. It's waiting for you to find it.
Enough said. John Antonuk and Jen Lane on The Drew Marshall Show.
What you are searching for, you already have. What you lose along the way, you never get back. It's up to you to make the good and the bad. What you are searching for, you already have. Time asks no questions and tells you no lies. It has no patience. We don't have much time. What you are searching for, you already have. What you lose along the way, you never get back. It's up to you to make the good. What you are searching for, you already have. Looking for answers, you don't have to try. We'll go on together for the rest of our lives. What you are saying, already have. What you lose along the way, you never get back.
up to you and me. The good and the bad. What you are searching for, you already have. What you are searching already have.
Beautiful stuff. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
A tough one to sing with a lump in your
Yeah, head. Yeah. I thought no way you're going to sing that after sharing your guts, but man, that is just.
Well, if he can do a whole tour right after.
Yeah.
I learned how to breathe. You have to always remember to breathe, everyone. It gets sort of bottled up inside you, and the one thing to stop it from just having come pouring out everywhere. It's just a couple of deep breaths, breathe, get the heart rate steady again, and then you can share the beauty of the moment.
Well, yeah. We learned on our honeymoon, too.
Whoa. What are you about to share here? We don't... What?
Well, come up for air once in a while.
Whoa! Yeah. Yes?
We learned on our honeymoon. We stayed in Salt Spring Island, and my uncle is a Hindi, speaking of spirituality, and we set out to see what he did with his usual day one day and ended up at something called Satsang, where everyone's chanting and singing, and lots of people are bawling their faces off while they're singing. But the Hindis believe that crying opens your heart chakra so that you can let God in. And so that was an interesting thing to go through and experience, because having gone through this, it is a lot of like, it's actually okay to cry. It's when you try and suppress the tears that the voice has a hard time coming. So learn from the Hindis.
Learn
sing
from
while you cry.
That's good. Put a bumper sticker. Learn from the Hindis. Holy cow. I had a moment. I guess it was last night. What are we in here, Friday? Last night I was with my horse and the sun was going down and I just got up for a long ride and put him in the stall and just, you know, had some, you know, Winston Churchill said the best thing for the inside of a man is the outside of a horse. And we were just, it was a weird connection moment. It really was. And then I was thinking about, he's lame and he's probably not going to get better. And I was thinking about losing him. And then that brought just everything else that came with it. And anyway, just my little melodrama there. Yeah. So, okay, the gigs. All Canadian fantastic artists suck at selling themselves. So what can we buy? Where can we go see you? How do we creep on you?
Smokekiller.com, jenlane.com. Everything is available on the website for sale. We have a couple of new songs. The two songs that we started off the show with today, the ones that we played live, are available at jenlane.bandcamp.com, which is also a link from Jen's website, so you can get it from there.
Okay.
The big gig that we'd love to see everybody at is Wednesday at the Cameron House, 408 Queen Street West. We're there at 6 p.m. Jen brings snacks. So there's...
Whoa. We got to go there again. You bring snacks for everybody?
She brings snacks for everybody.
They don't have food there, and it's 6 to 8.
I'm writing this down.
Like, I mean, they're safe snacks. It's
I got
bowl
that night.
Popcorn and pretzels and stuff. But these girls were so enthralled with our bowls of snacks that they
brought pie the next week.
They baked a pie and brought it. Now, this week, Darcy's bringing some chips and... we might just like have a potluck there this Wednesday. I don't know what's going to happen.
That's the way. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Bring
what a throwback.
Together.
That's the way we used to do it, right?
Yeah, you just come in and you get, and it helps sell a few extra beer to the patrons.
Sure,
which
it
helps
does.
Put a few extra pennies in our pocket.
You got to soak that up with something at 6 p.m.
Exactly.
You know?
And we're just at the end of the tour, so there's a couple more. We're going to step in with the Old Fashioned on Sunday night at Opera Bob's and just play a couple of songs with Darcy and the gang.
Great.
Monday night, we're. Have the night off, but Tuesday Jen's going to do a female singer-songwriter showcase at the Painted Lady. But like I said, the big one is the Cameron House, Wednesday 6 to 8. It's our fourth day of our residency. Wednesday's in May. It's the last one.
And the more people we can get there, the more likely we are to be able to come back.
To come back in November.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at coming back and doing it all over again in November. It seems we've had a few people go, yeah, but that's like 5 months from now. I live in Saskatchewan.
It takes 5 months to get here.
It takes 5 months to get here on horseback, right?
What is... listen, I've never been to... I've driven through. Sorry. I know that's what people say. I've driven through. And aside from the Rough Riders, and Tim and I have an old mutual friend, Gord Barwell, who was played for the Rough Riders a long time ago. I know nothing about your neck of the woods. Is it as I imagine?
Not as. I mean... But there are aspects of it. Like, the city of Saskatoon's really quite wonderful. It reminds me of a tiny Austin, Texas, which is weird in itself because Austin's like a spot of blue and a sea of red. Like, they're very liberal thinking and artsy college town. Yeah. And that's a lot what Saskatoon is like.
Really?
But we are surrounded by a lot of farmers and... Not saying farmers are narrow-minded, but what I'm going to say is an older generation of thinkers. I have a sister who's gay, who's getting married next year or next month, and her and her partner had just moved back from Montreal. So imagine coming from, they lived in Montreal for 3 years.
We're there. To Saskatoon?
And then back to Saskatoon, and the first place that they looked at to live in, this couple was like, I'm sorry, we don't really agree with your lifestyle choice. So there still are people that are just, I don't know. I'm stunned that people still think of it that way, because knowing my sister since she was a baby, like, that kid was born different. Nobody made her that way. She wanted an Eddie Van Halen guitar when she was 5 and a tattoo of an eagle on her chest. And we're like, Megan, you can't get a tattoo of an eagle on your chest. That would really not work out in your favor.
The thing about Saskatchewan is the wide open prairie skies. I mean, we get to see the northern lights quite often. We get so much sunshine all the time. People say, isn't it cold there? But I would trade the sunshine in Saskatchewan and the cold weather versus the clouds of Vancouver any day of the week.
Yeah. That's very true.
And the people, I mean, the kids move to from the small communities into Saskatoon, where it's about 300,000 now, and think, oh, we're in the big city. But if you ever leave there and you go to Vancouver, Ottawa, Montreal, Toronto, you come back and you realize, it's still kind of a small town and it's got that. But it's still really friendly, and the people are really good, and it'll always be home for us.
Good.
And
good.
We've got a big vet school.
And you're what?
Yes, we do.
You've got a big vet college?
Yeah, the University of Saskatchewan has a great veterinary college.
Wow.
Where my sister-in-law went.
Okay, so
congratulations.
Whenever Tim doesn't have a mic, it doesn't stop him.
Were you the one that yelled bananas earlier?
Yes.
Okay, this is serendipitous too, because that's something when I can't hear him or he can't hear me or he doesn't understand what I'm saying, we just go bananas. And it's like our code word for, like, I have no idea what you're talking about, or it's just when we're feeling ridiculous.
That's your safety word?
Yeah. And I was just like, we're meant to be.
Bananas.
Armageddon. Okay. So can we do another song, please? Is that all right? We've got time for one more. What do you want to do?
Lower? I could do that one. It's kind of a more sad. I guess it's not a sad note, because this is about people's interpersonal wars, but people that... This is about someone I know who lacks a lot of forgiveness and is a miserable person sometimes.
You wrote a song about me?
Oh.
We knew we were coming. So.
But
you were going to bake a cake, but you wrote a song.
People who are in that mind frame just rub off on you. Like, if you're around that person.
Drag you down?
They drag you down. And eventually you just have to realize, this isn't my war to fight. Like, it's really shouldn't be my problem. And I mean, you got to honor yourself. You got to put yourself first sometimes, I think.
So what's it called?
It's called Your War.
Love it. Again, Jen Lane and John Antonuk on The Drew Marshall Show.
My good mama always said, don't dwell on it, it'll keep you sad. Keep on walking, don't look back. It's not mine, it's your war to fight. It's your war this time. And when you're cleaning up the carnage, I don't even want to know. When you're so full of rage, you're spilling out, grasping for attention, drowning in your doubts. Don't make me wanna be your friend. My good mama always said, someday I would understand. When I grew up strong and learned to land on my own feet on solid ground, it's
Absolutely brilliant stuff. Fantastic. Jen Lane and John Antonuk on the Drew Marshall Show. Fortuitous experience. So, I mean, they weren't scheduled. A couple of days ago, we had a hole in the show. Somebody canceled, and all of a sudden you guys are driving through, and you're actually on your way from St. Catharines
to a house concert in Toronto.
Yeah. Brilliant. So that worked out quite well. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for having us. Enjoyed the show.
Folks, jenlane.com is a website you want to go to, jenlane.com, and of course, smokekiller.com. Man, I still get chilly when I say that. That is the end of our show. We've had a lot of fun. We'll see you next week. Stay with us.
Well, the good things they're forgotten if a bad thing comes around. Now all these stones are flying, they're gonna knock me to the ground. I am a liberal backslider, sliding about 10 years. People ask me how I'm doing, and I come from all their fears. I'm swearing like a trooper, and I'm drinking like a bomb. I'm a liberal backslider, and it sure is a lot of fun. Well, I take a stand on justice, and I take a stand on race. I'm gonna take me a TV evangelist and punch him in the face. I sing about the hope that's in me and ask why the poor aren't fed. But if I don't toe the party line, it'd be better if I were dead. I am a liberal backslider, sliding about 10 years. People ask me how I'm doing and I come from all their fears. I'm swearing like a trooper and I'm drinking like a bum. I'm a liberal backslider and it sure is a lot of fun. So I'll be asking for forgiveness then until the day I die. Though I can't be sure of what I've done, I think I'd better try. Well, thank God you're not the jury. Well, thank God I'm not the judge. Here's to a bigger picture. Here's to the bigger love. I am a liberal backslider, sliding about 10 years. People ask me how you're doing, brother. I come from all their fears. I'm swearing.